a brand spanking new edition to Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very aggressive top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
We are counting down our top five favorite fighting game characters.
But guys, we got a lot of show coming at you. Let's get to it.
So Wesley, I was just using your lavatory.
That's right.
Right before we began the podcast, and I noticed a new addition to the room.
Ah, indoor plumbing.
Amazing.
That's right. It's going to be big.
Actually, speaking of your indoor plumbing, using the squatty potty, I think?
That's right, dude, and I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Let's talk about your shit for a bit.
You know how much I love talking about farts and poop.
So what inspired you to buy a squatty potty?
Well, about 5 years ago.
Actually, I'm sorry. We should make sure people know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steve, do you want to tell people what we're talking about?
You know what? You're the seasoned veteran now.
That's right. Well, a squatty potty is... Well, let me tell you a quick little story. So 5 years ago, I was touring in China. And in China, the toilets aren't the sit-down toilets like what we have here in the Western world. They're basically porcelain holes in the ground. And you have to, when you want to evacuate your bowels, you have to squat over them for evacuation. We were told to use the handicap toilets because those were sit-down toilets. But I was like, you know what? When in Rome.
When in China, hover poop.
That's right.
The significantly less catchy version of that slogan.
I decided to try it out a few times, the squatting. And it was the best poop of my life.
Really?
Yeah. Everything came out fast, efficient, clean. They don't need to wipe over there.
Wow.
They don't have their toilets, their indoor plumbing can't handle toilet paper because wiping isn't a thing. What they have is little trash cans next to the toilet for stupid tourists like me to wipe and then throw the toilet paper away. That's what they have.
Really?
So it's fast, efficient, healthy, and clean. And I was like, and I didn't really think about it. Then a few years later, I read a Cracked article about, like, it was like seven things you won't believe we've been doing incorrectly for years. Number one was pooping. And it was because our bodies are designed
right
to squat, not to sit. Again, I just kind of didn't think about it. But a few months ago, I started seeing advertisements for the squatty potty. And I decided to try out some... I was like, I'm not going to spend $30 on a squatty potty. You kidding me? I'll make my own. So I was using shit like piles of books. I was using shit like empty cardboard boxes to kind of elevate my legs to a squatting position. Oh, I guess I should probably explain what the squatty potty is now. It is a little stool to put your feet on so it can simulate the squatting position for evacuation.
So to be clear, your butt is still in contact with the rim.
Oh no, it's a total hover poop.
Is it hover poop now?
No.
Okay.
It's you're still sitting, but your feet are just on this it's 7 inches above the ground. Your feet are on this stool and you're just in the squatting position. I'm demonstrating for Steve now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, and again, it's fast, clean, and it feels great.
It feels amazing.
Yeah.
0 to 100, what do you rate the squatty potty?
150.
Really?
And you know what? If we can go back, I'd rate it a 2 for the number 2.
Lame.
I know. But seriously, man, I'm going to feed you some coffee in here in about 20 minutes.
I kind of want to take your squatty potty out on a test drive.
Hey, man, it's great.
You're going to sit in the middle of the day like, Wes, I'm on my way over. I got to poop.
Like, Steve, no.
I got to poop, Wes.
Oh, no, I'm not home.
Oh, I pooped, Wes. Oh, I pooped.
But did you
It poop? Was not fast. But it was not efficient. And friend, it was not clean. Oh, it was not clean.
So, you a little behind the scenes action. Last week after the podcast was the first time you saw it, and you got mad at me because you were like, Wes, how come you did not mention this?
How is it not your lead story?
Because
I had the most amazing poop of my life. Please, it's amazing.
You can count the amount of times I've talked about pooping for longer than 1 minute on one hand.
Five times.
Five times. Yeah, man.
Well, so, congratulations on your poop reformation.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Ladies.
You're not the only one of my friends that swears by said potty o squatty.
Oh, who else?
Our friend Peter.
Oh, yeah?
Also a squatter.
Really?
Indeed.
Now, you just mean that he kind of, like, lives in abandoned homes, right?
Right, until the police come and kick him out. Yeah, so very similar to what you're doing.
Great.
Yeah, it's good.
How long has he had the squatty potty?
I don't know. I was like, hey, cool. Well, we're moving right along.
And you've never tried it?
No, I don't go to his house. He comes to my house.
But why don't you go to his house just to poop?
Because his house is made of squatty potties. He doesn't even have a house. He's just a squatter.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, man. You should spend some time here.
Yeah. No, I'm going to.
Okay, good.
Don't you worry.
I'm
cooking one up right now.
Oh, God.
Cooking her up now. Oh, anyway.
Oh, God. I just wanted you to pull out, like, a sleeping bag in your bathroom, buddy. I'm going to stay here. When's the last time you had a sleepover?
A sleepover. I guess
every night with your wife.
Are we saying, like, hey, dude, come over and sleep over? Or is it, like, a friend in from out of town that's staying a night or two?
I say it's, hey, come over and spend the night, dude.
Well, I'd say many, many moons. Many moons. I'm like, hey, buddy, I know you live right over there, but why don't you just come over here and sleep instead of going home? What do you say? Huh? What do you mean this is weird? Come on over here and squat over my toilet. What do you mean that's weird? You're weird.
Fine. Then don't come home. See you never.
Because I've had, just less than a month ago, I was kind of co-hosting a bachelor party.
Ah, coasting.
Coasting. I was coasting a bee party. And so the bachelor party was Saturday night, but two of the gentlemen stayed over at my house on Friday night, and we had no intention of doing anything else. They just stayed over. We played video games, drank, and ate chips, and then they slept over. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was very sleepover-esque.
Sure.
But I guess in a way I did say, because they were going to stay in a hotel, and I was like, why don't you just sleep here?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Then they slept over.
I guess the sleepovers do happen if people are drinking and need a place to crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But it's not like, hey, Wes, I was wondering if you, on Saturday, my wife said it would be okay if you slept at our place. Would you like to come over and then sleep there?
I'm really glad you're showing the audience your real voice, finally.
Holly, can my friend Wes sleep over? I think it'd be so fun. We'd have Totino's pizza rolls, and we could, I don't know, we could talk about stuff, and can we just be left alone?
But I don't know why when we were kids that was like the pinnacle of awesome. Like, I'm going to go over to my friend's place, we're going to spend the night, eat Doritos.
Well, I mean, you didn't
play our Super Nintendo.
It was the best, dude. Well, that was, you got to stay up late. That was, because at the time, remember, dude, when you were a kid, you'd be like, I'm going to stay up as late. One day I'm going to stay up late. Mm-hmm. Whenever I want to. I can do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, going to have ice cream for supper.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have ice cream for breakfast too.
Woo!
And then, so there were many years where I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm with friends. I stay up till whenever I do what I want.
Stay up till 1:30.
Woo.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, boy, 10:15. I'm bushed. I could get up early and take the dog for a walk. And
Wish, I'm sorry. You can't spend the night.
Oh, shit. Yeah, dude, it was the best.
It was, man.
Yeah, it was just an excuse to, it was basically like going out to the bars and stuff, like with your buddies in college, but when you were a kid. Because, like, so instead of drinking booze, you know, you're like, we're going to drink sodas and we're going to eat, well, you still eat pizzas.
Yeah.
Like, and do that. And then instead of picking up chicks, we're going to shoot each other in the face in GoldenEye.
Yeah. Like,
and to be honest, I would totally rather shoot dudes in the face in GoldenEye than go pick up chicks.
Well, I mean, you're married.
Even before I was married.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, so much better.
Yeah, well, yeah. When you go out for the express purpose to pick up chicks, I guarantee you, you probably won't pick up a chick.
Although, what if you go out to pick up a chick and you're like, look, girl, I got some Tombstone pizzas and I got GoldenEye set up for you and two of your friends and me. Let's do it.
Let's sleep over.
And then I was thinking it would be cool if we left this bar and you slept over at my house. What do you think?
Like, an adult sleepover.
Like, it'd be sleepy time together. Sleepy. No. Okay, bye.
Wow. Again, your wife. A lucky lady.
Lucky, lucky lady.
So that's what's new in my life, Steve. Pooping healthily.
Hey, it's better than pooping unhealthily.
Which is what you do every day.
Absolutely. I poop in my own food.
I don't know why you do that.
It's a lifestyle.
I don't like it.
Moving right along.
All right, great.
Speaking of...
Good. 10 minutes in, we finally moved on from pooping.
Actually, speaking of taking your insides out...
Oh, good.
I know you watched it this weekend.
Yeah.
So did I.
What's up?
Inside Out.
Yeah. Oh, you watched it finally?
I watched it. Oh. Don't say finally. You watched it Saturday. I watched it Sunday.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I watched it.
I just want to point out, it's so weird to have watched a movie before you. So that.
Yep. A whole whopping 11 hours.
Yep. Yeah. So what'd you think?
I loved it.
How many times, how many separate times did you cry?
Twice.
I cried 3 times.
Twice. One, though, was...
Spoilers?
Yeah, in 1 second, we'll get there.
Okay.
Before we get to specific spoilers, obviously, it goes without saying that Pixar is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're probably, like, my most trusted company in anything.
That and Jif Peanut Butter.
Can't mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they do, and I like it.
That's
and
right.
I like it every time.
That's right.
And this might be, I mean, this may be their best movie, maybe?
It's definitely their smartest.
It's so genius. I know that's a word that is thrown around real loosely, but this movie is so incredibly intelligent, and the story it tells, the way it tells it, it's phenomenal.
Every little thing, every line in that movie is carefully written and crafted. And there's no throwaway stuff. There's like a couple I can think of right now that are like throwaway little bits, but it's just, but they're so smart and they go by so fast. Like the facts and opinions line.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great. It had nothing to do with the story, but just like a little like 2 or 3 line little scene. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant.
All these facts and opinions got mixed up. Oh, it's okay. It happens all the time.
But should we get into some spoilers here?
Yeah, so if you've not seen Inside Out, give us a 2-minute countdown here for a little spoiler talk.
Sure.
And
go.
And go.
Okay, you're gone. Great, here we go.
The big cry.
Oh, the big, at the end.
No, not the end. Like 60% of the way through the movie, 2/3 of the way through the movie.
When Joy finally cries?
No, when what? Bing Bong dies.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Tears from the core of me.
See,
my God.
I even knew that was coming, and I still cried.
I did not.
Yeah.
Honestly, dude, and honestly, one of the saddest, most amazing lines I've ever heard in my whole life is, take her to the moon for me.
Oh
my
God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like Pixar just carried a gigantic baseball bat. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, they're right over here against the wall. These are emotions? Swap! Smack! It is the heroic sacrifice. It is for the woman that he loves, you know,
yeah.
And that has already forgotten him. I mean, it is everything the Samwise Gamgee sacrifice is at the end, plus more. Oh, my God, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just sobbing, sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And my good friend Dan, who's been on the podcast before, big, burly lumberjack guy, he said he cried for like 2 hours.
Oh, man.
Because of Bing Bong.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man. See, I cried when he died, but it was the least crying.
Then what got you?
Well, first of all, it was just because I knew that he had to die.
Okay.
I knew it was coming. So I kind of like protected myself.
Oh, I was not.
Kind of steeled myself for it. Right before he died was when Joy was looking at all the old memories of like, was it Riley? Is that
yeah.
her name?
Mm-hmm.
Riley as a child and, like, just how she was crushed and how she just failed her and, like, how much she missed her. And, like, then when she started crying is when I cried.
Hmm, okay.
And then, of course, at the very end, when it really got me, is when Sadness comes in and, like, turns all her core memories blue. And
yeah.
then she, keep trying to call her Ridley. Riley breaks down in front of her parents and they all, like, have a great big cry. That got me.
Okay, because that got Holly as well, my wife Holly. She reacted to the movie very similar to you did in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan and I reacted very similar that the sacrifice, take her to the moon for me. Like that, honestly, I think part of the reason the ending, it affected me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still so, like, shell-shocked. I was still trying to deal with that part that I was like, yes, yes, more sad things, fine. Oh, take her to the moon! Oh!
I think why it got me so much is because, like, it was growing up and saying goodbye to certain things, saying goodbye
man.
To youth and innocence, and it's a big transition period. And, like, right now I find myself in a huge transition period
sure.
as well with the breakup and, like, quitting certain things and stuff. And it's like, that's what really hit home for me. And like looking back on all these things and how they used to be so joyful. And now like
yeah.
you look back on them and it's just sad. Like
tainted.
Those moments are gone now. They're just gone. And it really hit me, really hit home right in the heart.
And another fantastic, well-crafted short line of dialogue. So I know you guys want me to be happy need me to be happy right now, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what an honest line.
Yeah.
Amazing. Just amazing.
And how great was Phyllis, whatever her name is, from The Office, as Sadness?
I didn't even know that was her until after. It was amazing. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. Also, just a few chipper parts of the movie as well. The end, after the movie's over, there's about 3 minutes of popping into other people/animals' heads
mm-hmm.
to see what their minds are like. I could watch that for 2 more hours.
I
could
know.
Watch that all day. I could watch it all day. And possibly one of my favorite lines or parts of the whole movie is when they go into Dad's head.
Yeah.
Like, we are putting the foot down! I laughed so incredibly hard at that part.
Oh, my God.
That and also the teenage boy.
Yeah!
Girl!
The alarm's going off.
I thought it was a phenomenal movie, dude.
Yeah.
Give me your rating.
Oh, God. Like at least a 95.
I was going to say 94.
Yeah.
I think it's... So I watched it yesterday. I want to watch it again today.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I know there's even more. And
there's so much stuff that we probably missed.
So much good stuff. Unbelievable film. Loved it. Unsurprised that Pixar put it together.
Yeah.
But I honestly think it's probably top 3 Pixar, which is really saying something.
I would say it's up there. It might be my number...
Better than Incredibles?
No. I still love Incredibles more. But it's up there, man. It's probably my number 2.
Yeah. It's right there.
But
great
just,
movie.
Just like little things that are so smart that they don't even bring attention to. Like the new emotions board, you know, once puberty hits and emotions get more complicated.
Yep.
And then you see the memories. They're all like colored, multicolored. It's like, oh, that's right. Children feel something 100%, but adults don't. You know, it's just so smart.
So smart. So good. If
you
haven't seen it, go do it. It's what a phenomenal movie to do the Christmas time
mm-hmm.
thing with a family. I would say, not that this is a concern of mine right now, but I did read this, that perhaps this movie is slightly mature for a child audience, which I didn't think about watching it.
Yeah.
Like, as a Pixar movie, obviously it is, you know, option A, it is catered towards children. I was like, I'm sure kids still have a good time, but I wonder how much of this goes over their head.
Mm.
All the good Pixar movies all have, you know, mostly for kids, but also these adult lines, you know, things that the kids won't necessarily pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this was a much more split piece of the pie, or a pie, if you will, like almost like 50% adult, 50% kids, if not more for adults. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about that, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, and I read a review about it that stated that, and I was like, oh, you're coming from, you know, a guy that watched this with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's something I obviously didn't do, and I was like, oh, it's an interesting thought. That would probably color my rating of the film a little bit too. If I was, this is for my kids and I hope I get something out of it. Instead, I got so much out of it. I hope my kids got something.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I still give it a 94.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's awesome.
It's great. So I watched that. I also watched Mad Max Fury Road this weekend.
Woo!
It was really good. It was really awesome. I feel like I should have seen it in the theaters. I feel like it wasn't made for the small screen.
I also feel like there are certain movies and games. Obviously, you don't play a ton of games right when they come out. You often wait the 5 years to play them.
Yeah, at least.
At least five. So there's certain things that I feel like you're going to get the benefit, a more beneficial way of like, oh, man, this game's great 5 years later. This movie's great 5 years later. I feel like you're watching Fury Road at almost like the optimum worst time, where that it has been out for, I don't know, 9-ish months, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already heard everybody rave about it for several months, and now you're past like peak rave point, mm-hmm. and now it's kind of lying back, and now you get it.
Yeah.
With kind of like residual people still loving it, and all this talk-up stuff, and
we know that that I'm pretty susceptible to things getting overhyped.
Sure are.
Yeah. Remember Guardians of the Galaxy?
I do, I remember Gardens of the Galaxy,
too. Remember that
HGTV show?
Yeah.
Man.
Great. Way overhyped, though.
God, that. Oh, my God. That garden on Venus?
Whoa, dude.
Unbelievable.
I didn't know women are from there.
How did you feel about Fury Road now?
I mean, honestly, I it's one of those things where it just got a little overhyped, man. It was just like, it was fine. It was fun. That's some awesome chase sequences.
The whole movie is a chase sequence.
Pretty much. Some awesome action sequences. I don't know how they filmed half the shit.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought it was good, but I feel like I should have seen it on the big screen in the D-box seats in 3D.
Yep.
That would have been amazing.
That's the kind of movie where you got to have it on a big screen, the sound kicking, you know, just being, you know, just washing over you in this spectacle, and when the doof wagon, when he hits the guitar and the flames come out of the top,
you
just want to feel like that bass in your chest, and you want to feel the flame off the screen.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad you had a good movie weekend. That's a good thing for you.
I mostly good movie weekend.
And then, of course, you have the counterbalance.
That's right. I mean, I got to cleanse the palate of goodness
with a little taste of something bitter.
Speaking of poop.
Actually, so I believe Inside Out has a 97 or 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
So to fill out that missing 3%, Wes and I are also we're dusting off an old one. We are starting up our Netflix reviews again.
That's right.
So we decided to start at the bottom.
That's right.
With a 3% Rotten Tomato rating. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah, so please check that out. It's on 5play.net, or you can get it on iTunes. It either came out yesterday or it came out today.
So if you've not seen Mortal Kombat Annihilation in a while, which you probably haven't, I hope you haven't, you should watch it, and then you should listen to the Netflix review and join us with that.
Oh, because we are getting into it.
But anyway.
Yes. We have to get to some emails from last week's podcast, which was our top 5 best Christmas presents we've ever received.
Man, that's some good stuff.
Some good stuff.
There's a lot of emails written in some real good stories.
That's right. But we're blazing through today, so we only have time for two. So let's start with Timothy Adam Murphy's top 5. His top 5 was a Lego Back to the Future DeLorean.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Timothy, Steve's face. I've never seen him angrier.
I didn't even know it existed.
Well, you have to get it.
Oh, my God. I would imagine that sealed in the box right now is probably, if it's of decent size, that thing's like $500, I bet.
Probably, dude.
Wow.
Probably. But it's number 4 is the Survivor bandana. He says, this is kind of dorky, but when I was younger, I loved watching Survivor, and I always wanted to be on the show, but it didn't seem like that would ever be a possibility. But I thought having a bandana like what they wear on the show would be the next best thing, and it really was, as I wore it all that time for years after I got it.
Wow. Have you ever watched Survivor?
I have. I watched the second season.
That is still on television now.
What?
Oh, yeah, Survivor's still on.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, I know.
Is it like Survivor Antarctica?
I think they've already, like, brought back people, like, five times over, and I have never watched more than grand total, cumulatively, like, 12 minutes of Survivor over, what, 15 years?
Have they done, like, the joke series yet of, like, Survivor Detroit?
I would be interested in that.
I would, too.
I don't know, man. It's still on. I was also really surprised to find out that American Idol was still on.
I thought that stopped being a thing.
It stopped being a thing.
Yeah.
But it continues to be a show.
Oh, really?
Apparently, this is the final season. I was watching football the other week because it's on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, American Idol. I was like, what? And it was like, the final season. I was like,
I see.
That makes much more sense.
Who are the judges nowadays?
I think Jennifer Lopez is still on there.
She was ever on there?
Yeah. And okay. I think it is Harry Connick Jr. Jr.?
Junior.
Junior. Not yep. Junior. Very no. similar, but he has a mustache.
That's right.
And Keith Urban, I think?
Okay. Well,
I think. I'm not totally sure.
Sure. At least it's not like Nick Cannon.
Oh, no. He's on America's Got Talent.
Okay. Maybe not Pee-wee Herman.
No, he's in prison.
All right. I guess my next one was going to be Jared from Subway. So right next to Pee-wee Herman.
They actually share a cell.
Oh,
it's disgusting.
No. Oh, boy. But, yeah, that's don't care about American Idol.
No. And I don't care about Survivor, but I'm way more okay with Survivor still being on than American Idol still being on.
I agree. What is number three was Back to the Future, the complete trilogy. A great trilogy.
I wonder if he got the complete trilogy or the quote-unquote complete trilogy in three different VHSs.
What's the Back to the Future one?
No, because that's what happened to you. You got the Nightmare on Elm Street complete edition.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
Remember? I see you've blocked your horrible childhood.
That's right. I didn't have any Legos, so what's the use of remembering?
God.
His number two is Burger King Woody, Buzz, and RC three-piece set / Toy Story 2 Buzz Lightyear talking action figure.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Christmas gift?
Yes.
He got Burger King toys?
Well, yeah.
What?
I mean, obviously, he didn't have the best childhood either.
What?
Do you want me to read what he wrote?
I need to have an explanation.
Okay, here it is. It's kind of long.
It's fine. I need to know.
All right. Excuse me as I clear my throat. It's dramatic reading in this monologue.
This cold winter night.
This one is a bit of a tie, but I cherish both of these a lot, as I love them both a lot, as I was a huge fan of Toy Story, and the first gift was a tie-in that Burger King was doing when the first Toy Story came out. It consisted of a Woody and Buzz doll and RC toy car that they could sit on so that you could recreate the chase scene from the first film. I was about 5 at the time, and I remember that the first thing I did when I got Buzz and Woody was to write my name on their shoes because I saw Andy do it in the movie, and I thought that was what I was supposed to do. The other gift was a toy that I really wanted when Toy Story 2 came out because it looked just like Buzz from the movie and had wings that could pop out and talk. The wings could talk? Compared to my old Buzz toy, this thing looked awesome. And it really was. I would take that thing all around the house acting all these cool adventures with Buzz. And funnily enough, I came across him just last year as my nephew wanted to play with him. And I found him, and after so many years, he still worked. And as I turned him on, nostalgia washed over me as memories came back.
Ooh, okay.
So,
okay.
He got toys from the first two Toy Stories, and then he had his own Toy Story 3.
I get it. That's nice. That's a good story.
That is.
Are you in Team Buzz or Team Woody?
Team Woody.
Team Woody.
Yeah, all the way.
Although I would absolutely rather play with a Buzz Lightyear, but I am all for Team as a child.
Yeah.
If it were Spaceman versus Cowboys, I'm always Space, never Wild West.
Oh, of course not.
Always.
But as far as characters go, Woody all the way.
Woody all the way.
Yeah. His number one, Christmas Mickey doll. Now I have to read the story. This was given to me by my mom's best friend about 3 years ago, and at the time, I had never met her. and I thought nothing of it when I first unwrapped it, as I had plenty of plush Mickeys given to me over the years. But then I learned that this particular Mickey belonged to the father of Mom's best friend who had recently passed away, and he too loved Mickey Mouse. And since my mom's best friend knew that I liked like her father, I liked Mickey Mouse, she wanted to give this to me as this doll meant a lot to her. And it's become one of my favorite things featuring Mickey Mouse that I own because of that reason alone.
Very nice.
It's a very nice.
Very nice Christmases.
We almost can't make fun of it.
It's close.
Squatty. No, never mind.
That's very nice. That's very nice.
Good top five. But Nicodem writes in, he doesn't write in a top five, but he writes in his favorite Christmas present that he got. It's a good story. Here we go. Let's see. He says, I would like to tell you about my most memorable present. It was when I was about 13. On the night before Christmas Eve, I woke up with heavy stomach pain. My mom gave me some meds so I could sleep, but on Christmas Eve, it still wasn't better. All our relatives were there, everyone was eating, having a good time, and I was there just laying there on the couch holding my stomach, but still nicely dressed, of course. At about 8 p.m., I just couldn't handle it, and my parents decided to bring me to a hospital. To jump to the end first, it was my appendix, and I got surgery 2 hours later. But on the way to the hospital, my parents decided to give me my present in the car. A Super Nintendo! My first gaming device ever. I was laying on the back seat, having the worst pain, but at the same time being the happiest kid ever. I had to stay in the hospital for a week, but during this time, I could play Super Mario World all day. He had a private room for some reason. In the end, I was a pretty happy, appendixless kid, and this moment triggered my long-lasting gaming passion, which still lasts to this day.
Wow.
How about that shit?
How about it, dude?
That's a great story.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love that, I mean, obviously we do a podcast about TV, video games, and movies, so it's probably slanted a little bit towards the video game.
Yeah.
But I, after doing this list last week and reading these emails that came in, I'm so excited in the future to find that right year that I'm like, all right, you get a PlayStation 6, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I have made memories.
First, you need to make sure his appendix is about to burst.
Oh, I will rupture his appendix. Dad, leave me alone. Cover!
You need your present.
This guy wrote it in an email and you're going to love this.
Are you talking about your podcast again?
Don't worry about it. I need to rupture this thing.
But guys, thank you so much for writing in. I wish we had time for more, but with the nature of these emails that they have stories with each one, we only had time for two. But Steve, let's move on to this week's top five, which is,
in the true spirit of Christmas, we decided it makes sense to do our top five favorite characters from fighting games.
That's true, because tis the season.
Tis the season for punching your relatives in the face.
And rupturing their appendix.
Get that appendix ruptured. Nice and ruptured.
That's right. And this, of course, is also because we did Mortal Kombat Annihilation for our Netflix reviews. Again, please check that out, 5play.net.
All right, so stipulations on this one. We're not saying, it's a combination of guys you like to play with, as well as maybe just think they're cool in general, whatever. However you want to say your favorite video game characters. Mine are definitely slanted more towards playing with them.
Mine too, because nobody plays the fight. I mean, I guess very few people play fighting games because they love the characters so much.
Yeah, it's true.
But I just realized, looking at my list, like three or four out of my five are the cheapest characters in fighting game history. I personally am not a huge fan of fighting games. Like, I'll play them, I'll have a good time with them, but I don't look forward to playing them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Like, when the new Tekken comes out, I'm not like, oh my god, I have to play Tekken! No.
It's amazing because, you know, I made my list. It kind of, I think, how you and I both do. We make our list, we make our not necessarily top five right away, but you get like 10 down or whatever, you kind of whittle it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back online and I look up other lists. Like, is there any sort of glaring omission? Did I just forget this? Whatever. And I didn't think about it before, but in this world of sequels and reboots and whatever, fighting games are the worst. Fighting games are the fucking worst. Oh my god. There are seriously like only three fighting games.
Yeah.
Maybe like, okay, five. There are probably five.
Yeah.
There's Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
There's 19 of them.
Yep.
27 of them.
Yep.
There's Mortal Kombat. There's mm-hmm. probably like 12 of those.
Sure.
There's Tekken. There's yep. like nine of those or something mm-hmm. like that. Then you've got Smash Brothers and
Soul Calibur.
And like Soul Calibur. Anything with soul in it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those.
Killer Instinct. You got like.
But like Killer Instinct, Primal Rage, those are essentially one offs.
Yeah.
Like 90%, 90 plus percent of the fighting game genre is Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Tekken. And I mean, that's pretty much it.
You have these other things pop up like, what was it, Skullgirls or something?
Yeah.
That I don't think anybody played. I'm sure it was a serviceable fighting game, but I mean, nobody, I just certainly didn't play it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other ones, and I definitely hit a couple of those other ones, but I mean, that's it, dude. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I try to pick one from, like every one of mine is from different fighting game series.
All right, well, let's get to it. You go ahead.
I started first last week. You go
ahead. Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah.
So speaking of these dominant franchises, I'm going to steer clear of one immediately.
Persona 4.
Yes!
Yeah!
Actually, we're going back to the days of PlayStation 1.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
The Dark Ages.
Were we ever so young?
This is from a game called Bushido Blade.
Oh!
Do you remember this game?
Is that the game where if you hit somebody in the arm, that arm was useless?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason I loved Bushido Blade, I know this isn't about the game, it's about the character, but I want to give the background of Bushido Blade if you don't know what it is. So, PlayStation 1 fighting game, but there are no health bars at the top. There is no timer. There is no, like, you're, you know, fighting on this, like, you know, pit of souls or whatever. It's this very Japanese-based, like samurai style game where essentially one hit kills, or like you said, if you hit an arm, they can't use that arm. In the leg, if you like kind of nick the leg, it impairs mm-hmm. their movement. There you could stand there for 10 minutes and the game continues. You got to choose between like katana, sludge hammer, long bow staff kind of thing, and the most iconic one to me is there's a fight in a bamboo forest.
Okay.
So, like, as you slice with your sword, you, like, you cut the bamboo trees, and you can move in three dimensions. But there's, I don't even know how to say his name 100% correctly, because it's very Japanese. I think it's Utsusemi.
That's how you say it.
Utsusemi? Utsusemi?
Steve? Nailed it.
Got it. So he's basically just your he's the old Japanese samurai master. Like there's a bunch of like young assassins in this. He's just like the guy. He's like you're trying to take over my village. I'm too old for this. So like he's in the middle of this bamboo forest, holding his sword, like just this. It's almost kind of like a Kill Bill style. Like snow is falling. It's just a super dramatic game. And I loved the precision of like the one hit kill.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I didn't like the assassin dude. I didn't like the guy that used the spear. It's just like it's the kind of like middle aged Japanese guy, katana in hand, defending his small town. I was like, yes, he is the hero. So Utsusemi, no. Utsusemi? I don't know. I don't know how to say his name.
Utsusemi?
Sesame stick? I don't know.
Sesame seed?
But regardless, I loved the simplicity and also the complexity of that game, and I loved him being the just kind of like the touchstone of that game.
For some reason, whenever you were describing that to me, I started picturing the blind samurai from those samurai movies or animes
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
That he's blind. But he doesn't need his senses because he's the best samurai ever.
And I love part of the game was so cool that kind of like the blind samurai, those fights were always like he stood there and the other guy's like, and he came in, he's like, block, block, block. And he attacks, but he misses. And then they kind of stand back for 10 seconds and they kind of circle him, you mm-hmm. know, like it wasn't this just all out blitz of action. And that's how this game played. And that's how he played.
Sure.
And I, so gonna go throw a dark horse in there. I'm throwing a little sesame stick from Bushido Blade.
I just wanted you to try and say the name again.
Sesame.
Great.
Sesame.
I don't know if you did this, but I tried to steer clear of characters that started in other video game series, so I didn't pick anything from Smash Brothers or Injustice: Gods Among Us.
Yeah.
My number five. Again, I'm not sure if this character is cheap or not, but I certainly like playing with him. Voldo from Soul Calibur. Yeah, remember this guy?
Yes, I do.
The freakiest dude when he enters the fighting arena. He's like rolling because he folded himself up into a ball.
He kind of like crawls on the ground.
Yeah. He's basically a contortionist wrapped up in metal bandages, and he's got these three blades instead of hands, and
he reminds me, if you were to take the Lickers from Resident Evil 2 mm-hmm. and give him, and mix him with Vega from Street Fighter, mm-hmm. you get him.
Yeah, I mean, those two had to have sex at some point to produce Voldo.
I think that's obvious.
clearly. but I thought this dude was so cool because he's so different, and that game has weird characters.
Yeah,
like, remember Nightmare with a huge axe or whatever? Yep. Fuck, dude. But this guy was so weird, and there no other character fought exactly like him, because those other characters, they were either martial arts masters or huge hulking monsters.
Yeah.
Smashed you. This dude like folded himself into balls and like kind of crawled at you like crab walk style, and he'd slash you up with his blades. And
I hate players like him. Yeah. I hate it. Like, I'm the dude that wants to see, you know, like the Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan guy, you know, mm-hmm. go at it, you know. We're like, this is where punches go. This is where kicks go. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I'm like, what even hits you? God, where are you rolling to? I hate you. I hate them.
He made my list because he's so unique. Like, one of the programmers had to have came in one morning and just been like, guys, I had the worst dream last night.
The Licker and Vega had sex.
And this is what came out, and it chased me.
Ugh. God.
God, awful.
Soul Calibur, awesome game. Awesome game on an awesome system, Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, that was a game that when Soul Calibur came out on Dreamcast, it was so far and away the best fighting game available at the time. It was like graphically, the way it played, it was like, holy shit. That was one of the first times where I was like, I have an arcade at my house.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So that's my number five, Voldo. All
right. I'm going to my favorite video game or video game fighting series, and that is Tekken with my pick at number four.
Okay.
And I'm going with a gentleman named Brian Fury.
I wondered if he'd make your list.
Oh, Brian Fury makes the list. Mm-hmm. Brian Fury is this, I mean, when you really think about the backstory of these fighting characters, because, I mean, really all the story you get from these guys is, what, maybe like a 30-second cutscene at the start,
mm-hmm.
and then their ending, you know, it's maybe a minute of CGI at the end. That's pretty, and usually all of them are like, he was this, and then this, and then this, and then he found himself in a tournament of fighting. And somewhere along the tournament, he found out his somebody killed his somebody. Like, that's how basically all of them go.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
But Brian Fury is this, he's like a former cop that like died, but they brought him back, and he's like part cyborg, but he's like a zombie cop cyborg.
Wait, Brian Fury?
Yeah, dude.
Is he a zombie cop cyborg?
He's a zombie cop cyborg.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a former cop, like secret or like, you know, undercover cop guy, like essentially died, and they brought him back, so like, they implanted this like chipset in him and stuff. But he also uses like kickboxing style fighting, which is, and not the straight up kickboxer from Tekken, I forget, Bruce.
Yeah.
Not Bruce from where he wears the short shorts and like has his hands, not jiu-jitsu, what is that kind?
Drunken boxing.
It's the one where you lots of knees.
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai. Yeah. He's not the Muay Thai guy. He's a kickboxer, dirty kickboxer, street kickboxer. Mm-hmm. And here's the real secret why Brian Fury makes my list. For perhaps one of the best fight game add-ons was in the original Tekken Tag Tournament for PlayStation 2. If you beat the game in a certain way, whatever, you could unlock bowling mode. Bowling mode was the shit. It was amazing. And Wes is laughing at me right now. I don't care. I don't care. I spent many a night with many a friend in a super cool sleepover playing Tekken Tag Bowling because it was awesome. Brian Fury, because he's half cyborg, had a laser sight that came out of his eye. So you knew exactly where the ball was going when you rolled that baby. And on top of that, he kicked ass in the arena.
Woo, man.
So I liked my Tekken Tag combo. I liked a smaller, quicker guy. And then I liked to have Brian Fury come in delivering huge shots, huge punches.
Yep.
This, like, the running spin kick that sent you across the screen. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he kicks your ass, so you know what I need? I need to roll a strike, baby. Brian Fury, second best person in Tekken Tag, number one bowler.
All right. Sounds good. My number four is from a game that we just mentioned a little bit ago called Killer Instinct.
Now, no.
I used to like this game a lot. Was it for 64? Am I remembering that correctly?
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Was it that? What was on 64? Was that Clay Fighter?
Clay Fighter was, yes. But I think it was on both?
I don't know.
I also confuse sometimes Primal Rage and Killer Instinct.
Well, they're very similar.
They are so. I mean, as in fighting, kind of one-off fighting games that came out around the same time.
Sure. I mean, you do know Killer Instinct got rebooted for the Xbox One.
Yeah, right? I know, but okay. That doesn't matter.
You don't count that one.
I really don't care.
Okay, fair enough. So, Fulgore, he is part Terminator. Looks like he's part Predator because he's got those claw hand things. Got the huge, like, double-bladed claws.
You like clawed hand men. Is number one Vega?
No.
Okay.
But he almost made my list.
Okay.
You've discovered my weakness. Red-headed women and clawed-handed men.
Excuse me, Mr. Vega. I was wondering if you'd like to come back to my house and have a sleepover. Sexually.
It's like, sorry, kid. The liquor already has my dance number. I like the clawed hands. And he's just this ass-kicking robot dude that I would always play as him or Saber Wolf. And to be honest, it was a toss-up which one I would put on my list. But I picked Fulgore because he had the clawed hands.
I mean, that is your weakness.
That is my weakness.
If only he was a red-headed, claw-handed man.
I know.
With some boobs and a butt, then...
Oh, man, I wouldn't be able to resist.
Dream.
Dream boat. And if John Hamm played him, woo!
Look out, ladies and men and everyone.
That's right.
You know what? I actually... I wish we had a copy of Killer Instinct here right now.
Okay.
Because I would challenge you right now with my number three.
Which is?
Cinder.
Ooh, okay.
Cinder from Killer Instinct. Cinder is a humanoid guy that is permanently on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's a flaming guy. No claw hands, though, Wes. Sorry.
I don't care.
There was basically some sort of, like, chemical experiment kind of thing that, like, coats his skin in this, like, never-ending, like, napalm kind of stuff. But the reason I put Cinder on there is because his particular combos just, they fit right in with what I do with them buttons, baby.
Mm-hmm.
They fit right in there. It was basically, like, I'm a big fan of guys that have forward button and like back button moves. Big fan of those because that's part of the reason fighting games were always lower on my list is because I never took the time to memorize. Like, I know these basic button combinations. Mm-hmm. If this particular fighter doesn't fall into these things, then I suck with them. Like, if it's not like half of a circle and a button, or, you know, like, or forward, back, you know, whatever. If it's some sort of crazy combination of buttons. I'm like, that's not what I do.
Yeah.
I'm a half circle, forward, forward, back, back kind of guy.
And other than that, button mashing.
And other than that, I'm smashing it. Or low kick. Low kick, baby.
Oh, God.
Hitting the low kick and then go the uppercut.
God.
There we go. That's what I got.
Mm-hmm.
So Cinder fell in that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like double his two forward and button. He does this kind of like this spin move. Like he goes horizontal and like does this like kind of corkscrew move. So it was like that. I was just like, pop, 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 brr, pop, 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 brr, pop. And then I threw in the back move.
Ooh.
And he like shot out. He basically went like and shot this tube of flame out of his mouth. Very Dhalsim-esque from Street Fighter. So it was just always pressing on dudes. Always like, twist, twist, boom, and then flame. And he just, his skill set, just, and I was killing dudes with Cinder. Killing dudes with Cinder. I'm putting Cinder on the list solely because I think my record as Cinder playing Killer Instinct was probably like 85 win percent.
All right.
Killing dudes with Cinder.
That's awesome. All right.
So I would challenge you right now if we had the ability to do such a thing.
Fair enough. But sadly, we don't.
Flame!
Oh, no! So you mentioned my number three in your description, which is Dhalsim from Street Fighter. I told you, my top three are cheap-ass bitches.
Yeah.
Because I used to love playing with Dhalsim because he's the cheapest Street Fighter character ever.
Yoga,
flame.
Yoga,
flame. Yoga, fire.
Fire. And then stretch punch.
And then
stretch punch.
Stretch arms, strong arms.
Yep. Then teleport.
Teleport, floating around.
Floating.
Oh, my God. He's such a cheap bastard, but I love playing as him. He was basically like playing as Oddjob and Goldeneye. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. People would have rules that, Wes, you can't play as Dhalsim. Like, God damn it, then I'm going to lose.
But I only know how to win cheap.
That's right. Fine. Low kick, uppercut. Low kick, uppercut. That's all I can do. So I thought of other Street Fighter characters, but I got to go with my heart. Got to go with nostalgia. I love Dhalsim.
See, dude, this is yet again where we do not see eye to eye. Like, I don't think he's... Was that your number two?
Three.
Three, okay. So there are certain players, I will say, like I said before, I like the Bruce Lee kind of guy. I like the main guy of the game, if you will. Like the stand and punch and kick guy. And you love those cheap claw-handed bastards.
Yep.
The guys that crawl on the ground. The guys that float through the air.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that drives me nuts, I already said it, but I don't care. It's you don't know what things are going to actually hit them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is a low kick going to hit him? Does a high kick hit you when you float? I don't know.
Nobody knows.
God, I hate them.
Here's the secret. I don't know either. I'm just mashing buttons.
I hate you.
I know.
I hate you so deep.
I know.
So deep.
That's my number three, the cheap-ass Dhalsim.
God. Yoga, flame.
Yoga, fire.
Number two, from the world of Mortal Kombat,
ooh,
my personal favorite Mortal Kombat game.
Careful.
I know. I'm not saying it's the best one. It's my favorite.
Okay.
And it's Mortal Kombat 3.
Okay.
And I'm going with Robotic Smoke.
He almost made my list.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Used to like him a lot.
I love me some Robotic Smoke. So he looks exactly like Cyrax. And who's the red one?
Sektor.
Sektor. He looked just like Sektor and Cyrax. So Sektor shot a missile out of his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Cyrax shot like a green net thing,
mm-hmm,
and Smoke basically had the get over here hook harpoon thing that came out of his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, this is the only character I've ever in my entire life been able to have this thing happen. Somehow it just was like this Rain Man moment. I don't even know what was happening. I just did it. I could knock out a 26 hit combo with Smoke.
Whoa.
And honestly, like, I couldn't even tell you at the time the buttons I was hitting or why they were happening. It was just a thing that I did, and then all of a sudden it was a 26 hit combo, and I could do it every time.
Crazy muscle memory.
I could do it every time, and I have no idea how it worked. It just worked that way.
Holy crap.
But I also loved the way those robot dudes looked in that game.
Yeah,
because they're very, again, kind of similar. They're predator-esque looking when he still has the mask on.
Mm-hmm.
They got kind of the hair thing, but they've got that mask. No claw hands. I'm sorry.
Duh.
But you know, then I could do one of those. Then when they're expecting that, quick low kick uppercut through the roof.
Yep.
So one thing I've never been able to do is fatalities in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, same here.
Never been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first started playing Mortal Kombat, it was long before the days of the YouTube.
Yep.
That was when you wanted to do fatalities. You couldn't just hop on YouTube and look at the people's fatalities. Because when the new Mortal Kombat came out, I was like, I didn't even mean to do this because I didn't even think about it at first. I was like, oh, Mortal Kombat, I wonder how it's doing. And I saw, like, the video came up. It was like, Sub-Zero's fatality. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah. And then it was like, up next, Scorpion's fatality. I was like, yeah. I spent like 20 minutes watching fatalities. I'm like, I don't need to play this game. I got it.
Yeah, that's all you need.
It's great. It's good for me.
I love how the fatalities nowadays are like three-act plays. They're so long.
They have to be, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of the most, I want to say formative, maybe not formative, but memorable moments in my life was seeing original Mortal Kombat in the arcade. And, like, we're talking, God, at that point, I mean, this is a long time ago. And I knew that it was a game I was not supposed to play.
Yeah.
Because the blood, because the gore. It's like, you know, you punch a dude in the face and this really super pixelated, you know, red blood came out. But seeing who was, like, Scorpion just reached in and, like, pulled out your spine, or maybe Kano did.
Both, maybe.
And, like, so just to see that in a game at an arcade. I remember I was on vacation in Florida,
mm-hmm.
like, going to Disney World, and I snuck down to the hotel arcade, and I just watched, like, older kids play Mortal Kombat, and one of them pulled out a fatality. I was like, oh my god, oh, like I became like a some sort of like hip-hop hype man. I was like, did you see, oh my god, your spine is ripped out, it's gone, it's no longer in your body. I'm this like 7-year-old kid like talking mad shit to these teenagers, like, oh god, son, oh, he shot the acid in your face and it's gone.
They're like, is he your little brother?
No, I don't know who the fuck this kid is. I thought it was so cool because part of me too. You know, like when you're a kid and you're like hanging out with like teenagers doing stuff you're not supposed to do.
Yeah,
and I was
like,
oh, dude, I'm on vacation. Yeah. People's spines are getting ripped out. This is the best. So I like there is a special place for me for Mortal Kombat and a very special place for Smoke. For Mortal Kombat, and I'm not talking Mortal Kombat 2, like regular ninja smoke,
mm-hmm.
cyborg slash robot smoke, Mortal Kombat 3, knocking out 26 hit combos and no fatalities.
Fair enough. We are right on par with each other, because my number 2 is also from Mortal Kombat. The cheapest person in Mortal Kombat.
Can
you guess who it is?
Yeah, cheapest character in Mortal Kombat.
You can do it. You can do it. You can pull it.
I mean, we're not talking Scorpion, are we?
No.
Sub-Zero?
Yes.
Okay.
The cheapest. He can freeze the opponent and then hit him a few times.
Yeah.
But he's just the cheapest. What other character can do that?
I mean, I feel like his freeze, I feel like it is second to Scorpion's get over here.
Really?
Yeah, I find that more effective.
Well, I found that I could do Scorpion's myriad of freeze attacks.
You mean Sub-Zero's?
That's what I said, right? Totally. I could do all those freeze attacks way better and way more frequently than Scorpion's get over here.
I found the opposite.
Yeah?
Because when I found the problem for me for Sub-Zero, I would often get somebody on a freeze almost where, like, we're both at the furthest ends of the screen sort of deal,
mm-hmm.
or at a far distance. So by the time I would get his ass over there, because you couldn't, like, run in the first couple of Mortal Kombats,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had to, like, you kind of, like, jumped over there, whatever.
Yeah.
So by the time I jumped to him, he unfroze, uppercutted me. It's like, God damn it! Because that's why I like Scorpion, where even if I got him from across the screen, now he's right in front of me.
Sure. But I like Sub-Zero, man. I like to be able to freeze bitches and then come up and uppercut them or tear their spine out or whatever happens. Again, just a cheap-ass player.
So let's say you've got a guy, you know, in their world, you know, 4 feet away from you. You got him a freeze. You walk right up to him. Now you've got time to deliver the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
in your Mortal Kombat experience, are you hitting him with an uppercut? Are you, what kind of combo are you laying down on this man?
Ooh, I was never, I can never do combos. I'm not good at fighting games. I want to put that out there.
Right.
Make sure that's clear. I'm not good at fighting games. So it would normally just be an uppercut.
Okay.
Because that dealt the most damage usually.
Yeah.
Or a special, if I knew another special move, I'd do that. But,
okay.
But yeah.
So I would also, I mean, I think this is something we can do. We'll have a report, I believe, for, maybe we don't. I say next week, let's do a Sub-Zero versus Scorpion.
Wait, on what?
You know.
I mean, we could talk about it in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
And we will.
And we will.
And we will. What is your favorite Mortal Kombat game?
Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
Yeah, that's mine too. That's mine too.
It's got like, what, the 30, 40, 50 characters in there?
I was reading about this the last couple of days because, like, it's been a while since I played Mortal Kombat, and I was just going through making sure I didn't miss someone. Obviously, like, Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Smoke's my guy. And apparently Mortal Kombat 2 was much, much more important for the franchise, I guess. It was a huge upgrade from 1 to 2. And I guess 3, people were like, ugh, 3. I was like, what?
Really?
Just as good as 2, just with more dudes.
Yeah.
But I do remember playing Mortal Kombat 2 in the arcade. And the graphical increase from 1 to 2 is insane.
Really?
Oh, it was. I remember. Oh, yeah. It's so much better than 1. Go back and watch Mortal Kombat 1.
Okay.
It is. It honestly, at this point, makes you look like you're playing like Atari games.
Oh, wow.
You know, it is tough. Mortal Kombat 2 looks so much better.
All right. I'll take a look at that.
But all right. So we both went Mortal Kombat number 2.
What's your number 1? Is it from Tekken?
It is from Tekken.
So is mine.
I know. I know who yours is, and you know who mine is, because we've had these two face off more times than I can count.
That's right.
I'll tell you what your number 1 is.
And I'll tell you what your number 1 is.
Your number 1 is Eddie Gordo.
That's correct. And your number 1 is Hwarong.
Hwarong.
Does he have a last name?
No. He's like Madonna. Just the one.
Or is it Hwarong Usutsumi?
Usutsumi.
Yeah. So your number 1 is Hwarong. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why your number one is
Hwarong. I'll tell you why your number one is your number one.
Because you like all the kicks, and you're good at them.
I'm good at the kicks.
You're good at the kicks, and you can knock out some kick-ass combos. I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Pretty damn good at Hwarong.
Thank you. I will give it to you, sir.
Okay.
Right in the old butt.
Break out the claw hands.
I will give it to you that your number one is the cheapest motherfucker there is in fighting games, period. You have Eddie Gordo, who is, for those who don't know, he fights the capoeira-style fighting. And if you're not familiar, go check out the movie Only the Strong, starring Mark Dacascos. Or you could just go back and listen to our previous Netflix review of Only the Strong,
because
it's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. But capoeira fighting is the dance fighting, if you will. It's this kind of like side to side, kind of like dance rocking motion, and it involves a lot of like spinning on the ground, like kicking over your own head. It's very gymnastics-esque, dance heavy fighting style.
Oh yeah,
and when you're playing against it, it's called Button Masher's Heaven. Although, to be fair, you do know enough of what the hell you're doing to, like, actually do it. But then when in doubt, you start mashing them buttons.
Oh, yeah.
So I think both of our favorite fighting series is Tekken.
Sure.
Specifically Tekken Tag 2.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
That's my favorite fighting game, period.
Mm-hmm.
And we have done many a battle together.
Oh, man, I kind of want to stop this podcast and do a battle right now.
Okay. Okay. No.
No, okay.
Wes definitely has beaten me more times than I've beaten him.
Mm.
But it's all because of Eddie fucking Gordo!
And not just because of Eddie. There's two Eddie, like, different Eddie skins now.
Yeah.
There's Tiger and Christina, I think is her name.
Yeah, the girl version and the disco version. It's the same dude. So what Wes and I would always do, we do the, it's, you get eight characters to fight with in this
elimination team.
So, and we would always play it randomly. We just they randomly selects all of our players for us, and then one day Wes got Tiger, Eddie, and the girl one. Like I don't think I beat Wes one round, one friggin' round. It's ridiculous.
You're so mad.
I'm still really mad about it. Still really mad. Anyway, Huorong is my kick guy. So
yep.
My ideal Tekken tag team is Huorong, and Brian Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Give me those two. I'm feeling good.
And my number one is Eddie Gordo. That has been the only fighting game character I thought was cool enough to like learn how to use him correctly. Like I like these other. I mentioned a bunch of other people on here that are unique and cheap. But Eddie Gordo, I actually took the time and I played a lot of Tekken Tag Tournament 1 back in high school that I learned how to use him right. So that when Tekken Tag Tournament 2 came out and I played with you, I'm like, oh, his controls are the same. Prepare to die, Steve!
The worst thing about him, everyone knows the old low punch, low kick, just little kick in the dick move.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that little pop. The way Eddie Gordo works is he starts almost every move by like doing a low kick, like right at your ankle, so it breaks your block. And he's like, and low kick, and now I'm in your face. It's like, Eddie Gordo, stop flipping and dancing and juking and jiving. I hate you. I hate you so bad. And there's no more cathartic moment than when like he's like and your ankle this and he misses and you like just kick him in the face like fuck you Eddie Gordo you and then it's like Huorong wins you're like it's not even a relief you're like fuck you Eddie God oh, I hate you so deep.
Oh, man. So, my top five in review.
So I have no feelings about this.
No, clearly not. I'm glad you're very zen about Tekken. My top five in review is my number five is Voldo, the love child of Vega and the Licker. My number four is Fulgore, part Terminator, part Predator, all badass. My number three is Dalsim, the cheapest character Street Fighter.
Yoga.
Flame. My number two is Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. My number one is my man, Eddie Gordo.
Ugh.
Dancing, shucking, jiving, grinding, bumping.
Eddie, will you stop bumping and grinding on me?
I don't see nothing wrong.
My number five is Utsusemi from Bushido Blade. My number four is Brian Fury, Bowling Master. My number three is Cinder from Killer Instinct. My number two is Smoke, Cyborg version from Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. And number one, the guy kicking Eddie Gordo in the dick, Huorong.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, we want to hear what you have to say, and please write in your top five fighting game characters. And feel free to tell me about what a cheap ass bastard I am for playing with these characters.
You know, I just want to—I kind of thought it'd be on your list. Just a real quick tip of the hat to probably the staple fighting game character. I'm gonna tip it to Ryu.
Oh, sure.
I left him off because he was almost too easy to put on.
Mm-hmm.
But probably, like, I mean, I love that dude.
And also, again, another staple fighting game character, Shaq from Shaq Fu.
I've made a huge error. Actually, Shaq is probably the least useful fighter in any fighting game ever.
You know.
Shaq Fu is so fucking horrible. Shaq Fu is we have to stop. I will literally go on for an hour about how awful of a game Shaq Fu is because the only move you can do is low kick. It is the only move that works in that, and you are fighting gods, and you are Shaquille O'Neal in a mystical land sponsored by Pepsi, and all you can do is low kick. I have to go. We have to be done.
Okay, so guys, you can write, you can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can email us at 5.
They can literally fly. And all you can do is low kick. What are you going to low kick when they're in the air?
5playnet@gmail.com.
I can't even make it off the first island. There's like 7 islands.
And as always, I'm Wes.
I'm Shaquille O'Neal.
That was 5.
And we're out.